Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52. My beloved, the minutest division of time can be defined as a moment. How many moments have passed in human history? It would be incalculable for us to guess. Yet even in our own lives, there have been moments of great importance at times. Some have been moments of eager expectation, with the anticipation of an event, perhaps the anticipation being even greater than the event itself. However, there is one prospective moment before the Christian, which will be the greatest experience, and be without disappointment, and filled with tremendous surprise. It will not be of any transitory character, for it will usher the believer into the eternal ages of glory above. This special moment is in God's word declared by the Holy Spirit through his servant, the Apostle Paul. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we, meaning we who are alive, shall be changed. These are the inerrant words of the living God, by the Holy Spirit written through his servant the Apostle Paul. In a moment. What a wonderful moment. Very uniquely, the word moment in the Greek text is the word atom. One that is well upon the lips and has been upon the lips of so many for many years now. A-T-O-M-O-S is the word in the Greek language. Once when boys or when in school days, we were told that the word atom meant indivisible, unable to separate or divide. But we certainly confess this is not so anymore, since man has been able to split the atom. And when we think of the consequences that have become involved, we say, perhaps a little facetiously, man may wonder, was it a wisecrack after all? But let's think of the meaning of that moment for the believer. First, it will be a moment of anticipation. It is a moment of anticipation. For the promise was given by the Savior, as we well know in John 14 and verse 3, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there ye may be also. And later on, it was confirmed to the disciples by the angels in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. And then as you read on in the epistles of God's beloved servants, the subject of that coming of the Lord is taught in all the epistles. The anticipation of the Lord's return has been an unfailing source of encouragement to saints through all the Christian age. It has comforted millions who were looking for him. And today, what shall we say? The moment is so near. It may even perhaps be today. In the midst of trials, suffering, sorrows, pain, sickness, and even our failures, we can cry with greater longing and anticipation, even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come, Lord Jesus, even so come today. Oh, how my heart is yearning, longing for thy returning. Even so come, Lord Jesus, even so come today. It is a moment of anticipation. My beloved friend, particularly my saint friend, may the anticipation of this event thrill your heart and your soul as well as mine. Second, it is to be a moment of transformation. Blessed transformation it will be, for in that moment the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. With eternal bodies of incorruptible glory, the saints shall rise from their graves in incorruption. They will be raised in glory. They will be raised in power. They will be raised with a spiritual body, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42 through 44. And the living saints shall be changed at that moment, for we shall not all sleep. Many saints will be living when the Savior comes. What an experience they will have when this mortal puts on immortality in that indivisible element of time, a moment. And how precious to realize, it means that only in an atom of time it is required for God to do the work of this tremendous transformation. One is well defined it in the lexicon, the Greek lexicon, as saying, that which cannot be cut in two or divided, indivisible. And what a moment. Are we anticipating this great transformation by saying, even so come, Lord Jesus? My beloved, wouldn't you like to be transformed? I would. May God grant it may be today. Third, 'tis not only a moment of anticipation for us, and a moment of transformation, but it's going to be a moment of translation. As we have noted, by faith Enoch was translated, according to Hebrews 11 and verse 5. From earth to heaven he traveled. Say, that's quite a trip, is it not? Likewise, Elijah did the same, as we know from 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. What an unusual experience for these two men. But for them it was a solitary journey. Twill not be so for us. There will be a great exodus of millions of saints who will fill the skies above when the glorious rapture occurs. Multitudes will rise from the grave. Multitudes will be translated from the earth who will be living. And together they will rise for that upward journey from the earth to heaven. An incomparable travel plan. Oh, my beloved, have you got your ticket? Is your salvation assured and your redemption procured by faith in the precious blood and redeeming work of the Lord Jesus? And in that moment of translation, there will be a dual anthem, giving forth their praises as the multitude rise. One section of the great multitude will be singing, O death, where is thy sting? And the other section will be singing, O grave, where is thy victory? What a translation it will be. There is no other qualification than being in Christ. This great exodus of saints will lead the earth. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain living in Christ shall together leave this world of sin and darkness to travel up and up to meet the Lord in the air above and to enter within into the glory of heaven, the glory of the Father's house. My beloved, please let me tell you something. 'Twill be the greatest multitude of the happiest saints that will ever travel. Travel, airborne, going home together to glory. Does it not thrill your heart and mind for that wonderful moment? And does it not enable us and cause us to say with sincerity, even so come, Lord Jesus? 'Twill also be a moment of unification. Not only of anticipation it is, not only of practice, but it will be a moment of unification. You remember the great priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus to his Father as he prayed for his children in John chapter 17? One great request in that prayer, chapter 17 of John verse 21, is this, that they all may be one. The oneness of all of his people was upon his great heart. But we confess the manifestation of this unity was only known in the days of the early church, for it soon faded away. And most unfortunate, we say it with regret and sadness, as the failure of men and the power of Satan came in to divide the church, the unity in its outward manifestation has failed. But will it be unified? Will it again be brought back? Can men do it? Never. The present ecumenical efforts of men will only end in complete failure, according to the word of God. My beloved, let me say very bluntly, and thankfully, all the human efforts of ecclesiastical organizations and ecclesiastical bodies can never bring the true manifestation of that unity, outward unity that Christ prayed for and which the early church at the beginning manifested. My beloved, if you read the scriptures carefully, and recognize the description of the New Testament writing concerning the end of the Christian age, no such ecumenical unity in its spiritual power and spiritual grace will ever be restored. Not on earth, not by men, here below. But then, we believe without question there is but one certain way that the unification of the church will be finally accomplished. And when it happens, it will be done in a moment. My beloved, please let me say, it's been years, years, that men, religious movements have been seeking to bring about the unification of the church. One body, and I must say frankly, a most ungodly body of people, call themselves the Unification Church. Oh, beloved, please let me repeat. That unification will happen in a moment. Praise the Lord. And it will be the moment when the Lord comes for his own. Let me quote the words found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17 particularly. We are told in that verse, we shall be caught up together. What a word this is. Together. My beloved, would to God his people were together. We ought to be, but we're not. Please let me repeat it. Don't tell me there's a unity manifested. There's a unity that has been formed that can never be broken by the Holy Spirit, binding all of God's children as members of the one body. But to look at the outward unity, we fail to see the expression of it that manifests the people of God are together. But let me say this. When the rapture comes, may I say it? It doesn't matter. It won't matter whether you think you're an exclusive brother or an open brother, whether you think you serve a Presbyterian or a Baptist, Methodist or an Episcopalian. Look, forget the name. When the rapture comes, we're going up as those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord, members of the body of Christ, which is the church's true body, and we're going up together. It may be that I'm speaking to some who will not even meet together with some of God's people today. I know not what may the reason be, but may I tell you this. From all bodies in Christendom, from all the professing bodies on the earth, when the rapture takes place, all true believers are going up together. Not one saint will be missing. What a tragic mistake that some make when they think so. Well, may I say this, they're going to be very pleasantly disappointed. There are some believers who may now refuse to be found with some saints upon the earth today. But in that moment of translation, they are going to find themselves included with the great company together. And they should not be disappointed then. And may it be they will not be embarrassed either. Yet other saints today neglect the exhortation of Hebrews 10 and verse 25. not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Some are careless and indifferent about being at the meeting of the Lord and his people on the earth, and that to their shame we speak. But may I say, my beloved brother and sister, when the rapture comes, you will find yourself present at the meeting in the air. My fellow believers, we shall all be there. Do our hearts yearn for that blessed unification of God's people in its precious oneness? Do we desire to see the saints united together in perfect testimony and that forever? Then if that is our desire, let us sincerely pray for that moment by saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Then fifth, should not only be and is a moment of anticipation, a moment of transformation, a moment of translation, a moment of unification. It is a moment of glorification. Do we consider what glory this moment is going to be? First, for our beloved Lord, when he will present his church, as Ephesians 5:27 declares, he will present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. What a moment this will be! A moment of glory for the Christ of God to look upon his blood-bought, redeemed, and now glorified church, his bride. What a moment for him. What a day of glorification it will be. Then our Lord will look upon his glorified bride. He will behold the pearl of great price for which he gave himself, according to Matthew 13:45. He will be satisfied with all of her beauty. One pearl of great price. One suggestive of the blessed eternal unity. Pearl suggestive of its eternal beauty. Of great price. The realization of the cost. The valuation of it as he gave himself to purchase his bride by the death of his person upon the cross. She then will be the perfect object of his eternal affection. O perfect bride. My beloved, let me say in all kindness, you've never met a perfect bride on the earth. Not even a perfect groom. But oh, when that blessed moment comes and Christ beholds his church and she beholds him, 'twill be a perfect bride and a perfect bridegroom meeting together. And then we who are his bride, we shall look upon him. We shall look upon the face, his face of inexpressible love and glory. And in that moment we shall be like him. Well, as John said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Yes, first we shall be like him. And that forever. Next, we shall also be forever with him. Forever with the Lord, according to 1 Thessalonians 4. And we shall forever see him, as we have quoted from 1 John 3 and verse 2. And what a moment of glorification it will be for the bride, for us, when at last we shall see his face, as Revelation 22 verse 4 declares. My beloved, let me raise the question. Can you name a more wonderful moment? Is there a greater and a better prospect than this in the future of the believer? Does it not make the believer's heart yearningly cry out, even so come, Lord Jesus, according to the closing verses of the Word of God in Revelation 22? My fellow believer, my beloved, that wonderful moment is near. And think of the glory it will be for you and for me, as the poet has well expressed it. And is it so? I shall be like thy son. Is this the grace which he for me has won? Father of glory, thought beyond all thought, in glory to his own blessed likeness brought. O Jesus, Lord, who loved me like to thee? fruit of thy word, with thee too, there to see thy glory, Lord, while endless ages roll, myself the prize and travail of thy soul. Nor I alone, thy loved ones all, complete in glory, round thee there with joy shall meet. All like thee for thy glory, like thee, Lord, object supreme of all, by all adored. O my beloved, what a wonderful moment. Does it not bring comfort? Does it not soothe the pain and encourage the heart in its despair and sadness that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, thank God, as Paul has written, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. May God help us to say, come, Lord Jesus, we are waiting for that wonderful moment. Blessed Lord Jesus, what can we say but we long for thee to come. And until then, keep us, Lord, keep us cleaving to thyself, and still believing till the hour of our receiving those promised joys with thee. Then we shall be where we would be. Then we shall be what we should be. That which is not now nor could be, soon shall be our own in a moment. We thank thee, Lord, for it, and we say, come, Lord Jesus, come today in thy blessed holy name. Amen.